Hi. It's getting late in the day, but I'm glad the room filled up. So I'm here to present to you on our Promising Strategies Funding Initiative. And first of all, I have to say that I don't have anything to disclose. So I'm happy to be the third person here talking about walking as one of our physical activity strategies. It's exciting. But I want to give a little bit of background on the foundation, since there's not many philanthropy organizations in the room. Give you a little idea about who we are. We were created in 2000 to receive Blue Cross Blue Shield of Missouri's nonprofit assets. We started our grant making in 2002. The organization's vision is to improve the health of the people in the communities we serve, and we strive to work with the underserved, the uninsured, and the underinsured. We focus on grant making, health policy, and capacity building, and on average, grants and contracts about $50 million a year, and that's to about two-thirds or about three-fourths of the state of Missouri and the city of St. Louis. And to give you a background, Missouri's obesity statistics have been getting worse. I don't know if that's if we're getting better at collecting the statistics because this is such a big epidemic, but we continue to decline in obesity. We are now the 11th most obese state with 30% of our adults. Last year we were 13th, and this is according to the F as in Fat report that just came out this summer. We ranked 27th in the nation with 31% of our children being overweight or obese. 46% of our poor children are overweight or obese, and 54% of the African American children are overweight or obese. And the national statistic for this is actually 41% of the African Americans. So this is a really big increase in the state of Missouri. So what the foundation has done, in 2005 we created this Healthy and Active Communities Initiative. And the big focus was to look at the socio-ecological framework and recognize the multiple angles for approaching increasing physical activity and healthy eating. So looking at not just the physical activity and nutrition programming, that's really common in a lot of organizations, but encouraging the built environment change as well as policy change. So all of that goes into our grant making, and then we're really hoping for that sustained impact to build partners and then position Missouri as a leader in physical activity and healthy eating change. So our funding strategy started in 2005. We funded a little over 95 projects and $20 million in this initiative. And over time, along with science, we've built these strategies to have more effective grant programs. So the current program is Promising Strategies, and what we focus on is really where that arrow meets in this Venn diagram is meeting that sweet spot of success. So all the applicants that apply are required to use a menu of strategies that are either promising or are best evidence-based practices, and what they're required to do is pick something from this menu that addresses each of these areas so that it's not just programmatic, but it addresses the environment or access, that you're engaging the community, and that some part of policy or economics is being addressed as well in the community. And then the other successful approach is that they're required to engage partners from multiple sectors. So the reason why we think these are working so well is, one, that they're required to do this for funding, but also that it helps them see the resources that they have and how they can best use the grant funding when they receive it, and then also hope for that long-term sustainability of their projects when the funding does end. So I want to give you a couple examples of two really successful programs. The first one is the PedNet Coalition, and this is just an outline of what, obviously this is not their grant proposal, but this is an outline. So their initial goal was to develop a walking school bus at six elementary schools. And then to address each of those three areas, these are the strategies that they chose. So with the access environment, they wanted to work on infrastructure improvements, making it safer and easier to walk in the community. They wanted to establish joint use agreements in the school so that they could access the school playgrounds and the school grounds after the school was closed. Create an advocacy committee focused on policy-based healthy lifestyle changes, so changes in the school to make food healthier, to make physical activity more important, and then to engage the community and work on a social marketing campaign. The other part that made this so successful was when they applied, they had multiple partners from different sectors. So they not only worked with the school, since this is the walking school bus, but they included the city council, the public health department, the housing board, residents, the Parks and Rec Department, because what they end up doing is, knowing that kids couldn't walk from miles away, what they do is still get on the school bus, but then be dropped off maybe about a half a mile away from school and then walk with the bus. Or they could be dropped off on the school bus route, the walking school bus route. So they were still getting physical activity, but they needed to make sure all these partners were at the table. from the start to make it really successful, help expand their resources, and recognize all these partners are assets in the community to help expand the program. So early outcomes of their three-year project, they've leveraged over $1.5 million to complete these goals and expand, and this is through outside funding in the community as well as national grants. They've established over 50 partners during this grant period, and out of those six schools, they've actually expanded. They've doubled to 12 schools, over 450 kids, and 150 volunteers working on this school bus program. And I forgot to say, but this is in Columbia, Missouri, which is where the University of Missouri is. It's a rather large university community, but it's split between the university and the community. So they want to make sure that the neighborhood is involved, all these schools are involved, the teachers and volunteers are there. The social marketing campaign and policy briefs reach over 15,000 people in the community. And this is actually, the PedNet Coalition has actually received national recognition for this program. So if any of you are looking at information for increasing physical activity and walking in the community or doing walking school buses, PedNet is a great resource to check out, and it's just pednet.org. Another organization that was not part of the Promising Strategies Initiative, which they weren't required in their grant application to do a policy change, but they ended up realizing that they did a lot of programmatic work. So the Phillips County Community Campaign did a mass media campaign, and they said, what time is it? It's 5:30, which stands for five fruits or vegetables and 30 minutes of physical activity during your week. So each day for your week. And these are all different programmatic pieces that they had in their grant application that first time around. But what they realized was that they needed to take these one step further and implement these policies. So they have a fitness challenge not only at the schools, but then they worked in workplaces to encourage workplace policies to allow flex time for working out. They trained the food staff, so they learned not only what they were cooking, but they incorporated their community garden food to teach the kids what to eat, as well as help encourage them to eat healthy. They built a walking trail, put signage throughout the community to let everybody know to get out there. And again, they kept pushing that what time is it logo to really make this a community-driven, recognizable logo. They partnered with the AARP and did a Walk the World program throughout their parks, so again, incorporating the signs. And they counted their steps, and then it ended up that through the grant program, they ended up walking the world three times in all the steps they collected. And it was not just the older adults. It was actually anyone, I think the ages were like 5 to 90. So it was everyone out in the community getting involved. And then the senior groups were doing walking groups. So they really made sure, on the jump rope rallies, they had this guy come to the elementary schools and show them all these crazy jump rope things, but just went to show that it doesn't have to be just going out and running. It can be any kind of activity that really just gets you out there and gets you active. And with that, they came to the table with a long, long list of partners. And this program has actually been so successful, they just keep adding partners and continuing to build. They've worked not only with the schools, but they work with the health department, a medical center, the recreation complex to make sure that anybody who can try to get access, if they can't afford it, can still get in there and work out. They work with the schools, all the different special interest groups like 4-H and Boy Scouts and Kiwanis, just to make sure that this was a community-driven activity, that this is not someone going in and saying you need to improve the health of your community and get more physically active, that everyone is at the table. That's also how these groups continue to expand their efforts because they're bringing more partners to the table with more expertise and resources. Here's a picture of the garden that they did in Phelps County. So they incorporated the gardening in their curriculum so they could increase healthy eating. And then they get outside, get active, and what they've done with a lot of this produce is incorporated in the school, but also in the local food pantry and really just making sure, again, that this has been expanded beyond just the school site. Here's a picture of that walking group, and you can see in both pictures those signs. They're marked out in quarter miles, so you can keep track of how you're going, and those walking groups can help keep you accountable, encourage physical activity, but then also make sure that the trails and everything are actually accessible. And of course, through this, like I said, we spent $20 million, so there has to be lessons learned, and along the way, the science has grown with us, so we definitely have learned that by making these a requirement to incorporate all three of these strategies, so the policy environment and the programmatic piece, that the policy tends to be the most challenging. And so most organizations need a better understanding of local policy change process, They need advocacy skills. They need to know their current policies. A lot of times organizations, if they want to encourage or require workplaces or schools to change their policies, they don't even know what the policy is, or they don't really know where to start for changing it. Like we said, that best practice information is really hard to find, so sometimes just whatever is the most innovative or the evidence-based at the time, just having access to that in some of these communities is hard to find and hard to implement. And then, of course, all of these things require a lot of time and staff and training. So what we've done in response to this is offer a lot of technical assistance. And we've partnered with Washington University in St. Louis to create a tool. And this tool is available on the website. It's a great idea that allows organizations to look at a policy that they currently have and assess the strength of this policy, and then from there, look at the resources they have at the table, look at some of the strengths and weaknesses and how to make it a very comprehensive policy. And this can be for any type of obesity, healthy and active. Like it says, it's schools, childcare facilities. It's really meant to be a user-friendly tool, and it's something that's just recently been launched. And we're really looking forward to having organizations use this tool and giving us feedback. So that's one way that we've learned to handle strategies, a requirement that then we have to provide technical assistance for. The other one is that we work with 84 counties throughout the state. So we have some major cities, but then we also have a lot of rural counties and organizations that may not have the capacity or have a small staff that are very overworked. And so what we've done is realize that when these organizations apply, there has to be some consideration given between the rural and the urban applicants. And the rural applicants, their policy and infrastructure goals tend to be pursued more often, and that might be because they're all applying and they're all involved in the same thing, and it may be a very targeted goal to reach. And in urban areas, they tend to work in more niche areas since there's more service providers. And with all of the funding that we've done in this area, we tend to see that the rural grantees are slightly more successful. They use a diverse set of messaging to reach their stakeholders, so instead of just an email, they actually get on the phone or try to meet with them in person. They really work on getting to know that. And it may be that small community benefit that's there, but they tend to take advantage of that. Some other things that they do, they're more likely to have those key stakeholders in the project planning from the start, so getting those stakeholders at the table is really important. And then again, I just want to stress that while we made a requirement that we thought that this was the most effective strategy for communities to incorporate all three of these, that we encourage them to learn from each other and we offer the technical assistance so that they are successful. And then lastly, I wish I would have had this before I submitted, but we ended up doing a case study on the PedNet Coalition and have a video on our website that highlights the walking school bus and some of the highlights and some of the challenges and how they've grown. And so if anyone is interested, this story is on our website, and you can go ahead and check that out. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them at the end. Thank you.